Amen. That was good, wasn't it? I love that song. Here it makes me want to hit the altar. Amen. It makes me want to get on the altar and say, "Oh Lord, help me." Nothing we can bring. Contrite heart, that's it. Thank God for His love, His mercy. Chapter number 1 tonight in the book of Colossians, that New Testament book. Amen. Colossians chapter number 1 in New Testament. We're going to be preaching a message tonight on keep Christ preeminent in Christmas. Keeping Christ preeminent in Christmas. I want you to read with me starting in verse number 15. And I'll just read all these verses with you. We'll read verses 15 to verse number 19. 15 to 19. Read them out loud with me. "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." Now, Father, I need Thy help, and Lord, I do need it, and I try my best to beg of Thee for it. I ask, please, help me, Lord. And I'm the most unworthy man to preach. I really feel that way. But because of Christ, He's made me worthy, maybe able to do so. It's because of Him. And Lord, all glory and honor goes to Him. I pray that You'd help me to preach. If You don't help me, Lord, I will fall short. I will not be able to proclaim what You'd want tonight. So I seek Thy face. I seek Your help tonight. Bless now and be in a real way, Thy presence, may we sense it tonight. May conviction be just like it ought to be, and may we be encouraged. May we keep Christ preeminent in Christmas. In Jesus' wonderful, precious, blessed, holy name, amen. You may be seated. The Bible says in verse 18, "He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." Notice how that God says in His Word, "that in all things." That phrase has got a tendency, what it's saying is saying, all this previous has been mentioned so that you will know that in all things He might have the preeminence. We have the tendency in our flesh to not allow Christ to have His proper place. Everybody wants to acknowledge Him in their mind, but they don't want Him to be on the throne of the heart. Well, Christ is Lord and Savior. Not just Savior, but Lord. And notice, again, "that in all things," again, that has got an emphasis saying, because of what's previously been said, it's to be this way. And let me show you what I'm talking about. The Bible says in verse 15, speaking of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. That's what who Jesus is. He is the image of the invisible God. John 1:1 calls Jesus the Word of God. And that is the expressed image of God. God is a spirit, and no man has seen God at any time. But if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. And the reason why Jesus is called the Word of God, because words describe. If you asked me what my name was, if I just looked at you and did nothing, you would not know what my name was. I'd have to tell you by words how I'm feeling, my name, my age, where do you live? You don't know unless I said, well, here's my address. And Jesus came down and God wanted to show us just what He thought of us and who He is. And Jesus is that Word. And the Word of God showed us how God loves you, how God's powerful as He walked on water, as He calmed the sea. I mean, He spoke things. He's the image of the invisible God. Notice it's the firstborn of every creature. Now that wording, see, people think firstborn is Jesus first created. No. Jesus never been created. He's God. He's co-equal with God. He always has, always will be God. And that word firstborn, we use it today when we speak of the president. We say the first woman. And we think of the first man, and what that represents is he's not the first man, and the president's wife is not the first woman to ever be born, or first woman in America. It's priority. It's position-wise. And when Jesus is called the firstborn of every creature, it's saying Jesus is the priority. He is preeminent. He is top of all. He is the preeminent one. For by Him were all things created. Amen. No matter, hey, don't let anyone tell you different. Jesus is in creation. Jesus is the creating God, the creator, God Himself, the creator of the world. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. I mean, you name it, Jesus created it. Every angel, Jesus made that. Heaven, Jesus created. Earth, Jesus created. Hell, Jesus created. Jesus is God. He did all these things. Jesus, everything. And then it says in verse 17, and He is before all things. I mean, there's nothing more important than Jesus. Amen. I love the church that God called me to preach from when I was a young teenager and growing up in it. The theme of that church, of Shenandoah Baptist Church, was making much of Jesus. Amen. What a great theme. Making much of Jesus. Because it's all about Jesus. It's all about Christ. Hey, you know what we exalt here? We exalt Jesus. You know what we make much of here at Ponderosa Baptist? We make much of Christ. You know what you need to make much of in your home? Jesus. Make much at Christmas? Jesus. He is before all things. And then it says, and by Him, not only is He the important one, all things are before Him, but by Him all things consist. There's nothing that can make it without Christ. Everything consists of Jesus. The worlds hang this evening. The stars hang where they are in the galaxy because of Christ. Your body, all the functions, I mean all the movement going in, and you know sometimes you hear your stomach, everything going and heart beating and how your body functions. I mean, everything gets held together by Jesus. And not, by the way, not only physically but spiritually. Your family will be held together by Jesus. Your marriage will be held together by Jesus. This church will be held together by Jesus. All things consist of Him. All things consist of Him. And He is the head of the body, the church. Amen. What's the head is where, look, you say, well, why does He say the head? You know, you can't get nourishment in your body by feeding your toe. You ever think about that? I mean, the toe is important, but there's nowhere to put food in the toe. And I don't have anything hanging out my arm to feed. I mean, Christ is the head. Christ is the director. He leads. And the nourishment comes from Christ. If the body's going to grow, if the body's going to mature, it's going to have to be from the head. Amen? This is the key place. And Christ is key. He is the key one of the church. It's not anybody else. It's not any other place. It's Christ. He is the preeminent one. So He's mentioning all these things about Jesus. How He made it all. How it's all consisted by Him. How He's before all. How He's the firstborn. Then it says, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Firstborn from the dead. And that's saying, you say, wait a minute. I thought there's been other people that rose from the grave. Well, there has been. In the Old Testament, you have other people that died and got resurrected. But nobody got resurrected by their own power. Everybody got resurrected by God. Jesus is the only one, the firstborn, the only one that can, could, and did bring Himself out of the grave. It was by the very power of God Himself that said, up from the grave I rose, everyone get out of my way. Jesus, the preeminent one. Everything's held by Him. Everything's before Him. He's top. He's key. He's the head. He's the one that started all, breathed it in existence. He's the firstborn to get up out of the grave. That in all things. He might have the preeminence. God reminds the local church in Colossae right here. This church was a good church. They had a loving spirit. You read the opening chapter. They had a great loving spirit. But one thing they had a hard time figuring out was doctrine. They were easily swayed. You see many times in chapters 2 and 3 about those deceivers and those people that were trying to trick them. And verse 4 of chapter 2, and this I say, lest any should beguile you with enticing words. They had a hard time with doctrine. And God was pleading with them to grow in knowledge and grace. And here Christ reminds them, hey, church, and he's reminding us, it's all about me. And I've listed these things to remind you it's all about me so that you'll make sure it's all about me. You see that? That in all things. I've told you who I am and how everything's about me so that you'll make sure it stays all about me. And I want to preach you just a little while on how to make sure we keep Christ preeminent in Christmas. Christ preeminent in Christmas. Amen. I'm going to give you just some easy lists and basic things on how to keep Christ preeminent on Christmas. And this week, I'm going to ask you, you ought to put this into your family, put this into your life, and you ought to do it on Christmas Day and do these things and make sure, I'm telling you, the devil is trying to do everything he can do to take out Christ with happy holidays and Santa and all that. He's doing everything he can to take out the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we don't want to take him out. We want to keep him preeminent. We want to keep him the main focus of why we're rejoicing over Christmas. Number one, read the Scriptures on Him. Read the Scriptures on Him. The Scriptures that speak on Him. I mean, listen, I believe everybody ought to wake up Christmas morning and open up Luke chapter 2. And while you're at it, might as well go up to John chapter 1. Then while you're at it, might as well flip over the Old Testament to Isaiah 53. And then have a little more fun. I mean, listen, just read the Scriptures on Him. Don't get in a hurry to get to presents. Don't skip down to verses such and such and read it fast as grease lightness so everyone can rip into the presents. You make sure on Christmas Day that Christ is preeminent. And what a greater way than letting the Word of God be read in our house. I mean, listen, we ought to have the Bible read in our house. On Christmas Day, you ought to have this book open. Christmas Eve, if you open presents on Christmas Eve, y'all, I still remember old Papa Boyce Gene Lowry, how he would gather us all around on Christmas Eve at Gigi's house. And we right before we'd open presents, Boyce take out that Bible, boom. And we all sit around, listen to him, take his time, and read the Bible. By the way, you know, it's a great thing to do with the family and even have a tradition with it. I'll tell you what I mean. Papa always read it, and then one day he passed it over, and that was exciting in our house. He's like, next year, after reading it for 20-something years, I'm going to let so-and-so in the house read. You know, I don't, oh, wow, you know. I mean, make it exciting. Read the blessed Word of God. I never get here in the store, and I know I've said it before, of a Brother Feaster in town, and Brother Feaster told me of a Jewish man that got saved, an Israelite man. That got saved, he found Christ. And that's big, amen. And he came by his house on Christmas Day and wanted to rejoice with Brother Feaster. And Brother Feaster said, well, we're about to read Luke chapter 2 in our house as we celebrate Christmas. And this Jewish man, a brand new believer, placing his faith in Christ as the Messiah, said, may I read it? He said, sure. And this man opened up to Luke 2. And this Jewish man that had just received Christ started to read. About halfway through, as the angels were giving the trumpet voice and rejoicing over Christ, he just started crying. And Brother Fee said, the Jewish man looked up and said, this is him. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ. Oh, that's special, isn't it? That's how it'll be when we read the Bible. That's how we ought to do Christmas Day and Christmas Eve. And when we gather around with the family, we better get the book open. Don't just get presents open. Get the book open. And let's make sure Christ is preeminent. Read the Scriptures on Him. Number two, tell others about Him. Tell others about Him. I don't know how we can keep Christ preeminent without witnessing. I don't know how you're going to do it. And it's easy to witness right now. I mean, Merry Christmas even says something. I get so sick to my stomach when I hear Happy Holidays. Amen. The other day I said Merry Christmas, and the lady, you could tell, listen, they're not hard to find when they're way over on that side. The way they dress, the way they act, the way they're macho. Ladies, don't be macho man, okay? That's why they say macho man, not macho woman. And she's a macho man. And I said, Merry Christmas. And she said, oh, yeah, you too. Happy Holidays. You know, oh, my goodness. You know, you can just testify by saying Merry Christmas. Oh, we ought to be telling others about Christ during this time. You're not going to be able to keep Christ preeminent unless you tell someone about Him. I mean, He's the reason for the whole season. Christ was born to die for us, to take away our sin debt, to give us a future home, hope. Hey, Emmanuel came. And don't make little of it. You ought to tell people about it. I mean, tell them in the grocery store. Tell them why you buy eggnog. Amen. Make sure you buy the right eggnog. Amen. Make sure you do. Hey, while you're out in town and what you're doing, make sure you tell people about the Savior. Carry gospel tracts. And we got some back there. And do what you can. And tell someone about church. Wednesday night, come to church. We're having a special a Christmas Eve service. Come on out. Tell people about Christ. Tell others about Him. And by the way, you ought to tell believers about Him. Amen. I like that song, I Love to Tell the Story. That last verse, I love to tell the stories to the, I love to tell the story to those who know it best. Amen. Seeing hungry and thirsting just like the rest. You ought to be telling those about Jesus that are already saved. In other words, like this. Well, you get ready for Christmas, Brother Josh? Oh man, I sure am, because I can't wait to just celebrate Jesus. He's good to us, isn't he, sister? Oh, he sure is, preacher. Boy, I tell you, thank God for Jesus, you know. Hey, we ought to be telling others about Jesus, rejoicing about Jesus, getting around. Call somebody that's a believer that you know, somebody out of state even, somebody you haven't talked to a while. Just come and say, hey, are you ready for Christmas? I just want to call and tell you, Merry Christmas. And isn't Jesus good? Isn't it good to be saved? Isn't it great that we can celebrate Christmas not as some lost heathen that doesn't know the real reason? Isn't it great we can rejoice in Christ? Amen. I love Christmas cards. And I think when you give out Christmas cards, you ought to put some Bible verses down or say something about the Savior. I mean, hey, make something special during this time and tell others about Him. Number three, have the mind of Him. Not only read the Scriptures on Him, tell others about Him, but have the mind of Him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 says, I'm sorry, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have the mind of Him. You say, what kind of mind was that? Well, you read Philippians chapter 2. The Bible says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, and we know that that is saying, of course there is, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And what a great verse for this time of the year. I wonder what I'm going to get for Christmas. Let me read that one again. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I mean, this is Christmas. This is when the Christians are supposed to shine. I mean, our salt ought to be stinging the most right now. Our light ought to be bright right now in the darkness. We ought to be givers. Amen. Someone needs some food, you ought to help them out. We're Christian, aren't we? Don't be looking on the things of yourself. Be looking for others and what you can do. I was blessed the other day when I heard of a family that took their children down to the shelter, just spent some time helping the people down at the shelter. I like that kind of stuff. That's Christian living. Trying to do something and show the love of Christ and witness and testify of the goodness of God. Hey, children. I know it's hard when you're young. But don't look on yourself for what you're going to get at Christmas time. See what you can do for mom and dad. And parents, say amen. That's right, isn't it? See what you can do for your. I spent some time with some teenagers the other day, and I told them, I said, listen, you better have your parent a Christmas gift. I said, now how many of you don't have any money? They said, well, me. I said, okay, well, still, you can still make something. Amen? I mean, you can still draw a picture. Still write. I mean, listen, we need to not be looking on ourselves, but looking for things of others. Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Let me think of others that I may be more like Thee. This is the mind of Christ. Have the mind of Him. Be thinking of others. Listen, there's somebody this week that's really suffering. There's homeless people. You say, well, they need to get a job. Well, let me tell you something. Be humble in spirit. If it had not been for the grace of God, you'd be in the same place. Every one of us is capable of the utmost sin of the world. God's been gracious and good. I thank God for what I have. I've got a lot. I'm blessed. And I want to be open. I want to be an encouragement to others. You never know who... By the way, be careful. Sometimes you entertain not strangers, but angels, according to Hebrews 13. I've been wanting to preach a message on that. Many times, hey, God wouldn't put that verse in there unless it was true. And I'm telling you right now, there's times people come up needing help, and that's an angel from God just to see if you're a real Christian. See what you can really do to help them as a Christian. Amen. Oh, be mindful of others. Be mindful. Be humble in spirit. And let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. What kind of mind? It says in verse 7, who made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And Jesus did not think it robbery to be God. Jesus was God. He had everything. He is God. He had all the attributes of God. But Jesus, who is God, laid aside those things and humbled himself and took on the form of a servant. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The most shamefacedness kind of death you could have. The death of a cross as a thief. And Jesus did it. And all that ought to be the spirit of every Bible believer during Christmas. A humble, empty of self spirit. A selfless spirit. I said the other night or the other day, I don't remember when we were preaching, we're talking about it, but these people that open presents and you know, they're disappointed because they have expectations. Oh, don't have expectations out of anybody in life. Amen. Learn to be humble. Well, I told them I want this and I didn't get it. You know how your face is when you open that present. I've watched it. I've watched Family Feud almost break out just right there during Christmas time because somebody didn't get what they wanted. And they're like, and I've told you before. I apologize to my wife because I opened up one Christmas morning and got a nice shoe shine kit. and I was like, yeah, this is great, babe, but I don't know if I want it for Christmas. And I had to apologize to her. I said, baby, that was a great gift. You were thinking of me, and I love and I use it. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you what, you gotta fight that flesh, amen. Hey, be humble and be grateful and be thankful and have an empty of self mind. You know what you ought to be excited about? Look right here. Especially in this Christmas thing. I mean, this world's gotten so chaotic about presents. Presents and presents and presents. So just because we're living like that, let me help you out. You ought to be more excited about people opening what you got them than what you're opening. And that's where true joy comes from, giving. There's a whole lot more to giving than receiving. Oh, my soul. Have the mind of Him. Read the Scriptures on Him. Tell others about Him. And next, sing praises to Him. Sing praises to Him. I think everybody ought to sing some songs on Christmas week, Christmas month, Christmas day. We gather around the house and we let it rip, tater chip. We might be out of tune. We might not have a piano. We might not know half the words, but we have a good time trying. Amen. I can still think back memories of spending time with my family. On those Christmas Eve nights and Christmas days, getting around the family, and my mama and my grandparents and my daddy, and just belting out best we can, "Oh, come, all ye faithful." Man, that's good. You ought to sing praises to Him. "Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord." And you know what some of y'all need to do? You ought to prepare for it. Parents, hey, the leaders of the home, prepare for it. Get out some sheet music. Print it out. Pass it around. Be ready. Take time out to sing praises to Him. Because it is Christmas. And we want Christ to be preeminent. I'm going to tell you something. There's something very, very sweet to the Lord. I mean, the incense of praise goes straight to the nostrils of God. And when we worship our Lord and Savior by praising Him in song, hey, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. It's a special thing to God. We ought to be people that sing praises to Him. I believe just thinking and talking and preaching about it, God's getting excited. He loves for us to worship Him in praise and song. Oh, do it. Do it. Next, not only read the Scriptures on Him, tell others about Him, have the mind of Him, sing praises to Him, but be grateful for Him. Be grateful. I'm talking about being thankful constantly this week. This month, you're talking about joy. We ought to make sure the joy of the Lord is our strength this week. There's songs, secular songs about Christmas written, and it talks about the holly, the cheer, and all the joy going around, and everyone greeting one another with cheer and goodness. I mean, there's something special. I think God just put a little special touch this Christmas time. People get excited about it. Even lost people tend to smile a little bit more. You know? I believe that. I have a great time during this time of the year. Yeah. Uh-oh. I'm not singing Blue Christmas. Amen. You know, I think it's such a special time. I love it. You call me crazy. I just get by myself and I start smiling, just looking around at things. I'm like, boy, it's all right. I like it. I like the smells of Christmas. I like walking in a house and baking is going on. It's Christmas time. You got baking going, gingerbread stuff flying everywhere. I mean, even just walking in gas stations and seeing eggnog in the fridge section. I even like that. It got Christmas. So y'all that don't like eggnog, I just don't know about y'all. Y'all need to get on board and get in or get out. Amen. And you know, you got Coca-Cola products putting little Christmas polar bear on them and stuff like that. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I like everything about Christmas. I love it. I think we ought to be a grateful people because of Christ. Thinking about Him and Him alone. I mean, I'm not grateful because of presents. I'm not grateful because some guy in a red suit that has a big beard and a big belly. That's not why I'm grateful. I'm grateful because of my Savior, Jesus Christ. I love Him. I love this time. And listen, some people act so spiritual. They say, well, we shouldn't make much of Jesus' birth. We should make much of it every day of our life. I know, you're right. Sure. I mean, duh, everyone knows that when you say it. Yeah, of course. But the Bible teaches that we have memorials. God made it real plain with His people in the Old Testament to have memorials. I mean, feast days and everything they did. And look, we're human and we get busy and we get in the flesh and we need to stop and say, wait a minute. God's been good to us because He gave His Son, only begotten. There's no one ever like Him. No one ever be like Him. He gave Him for us. Don't you know the wording of the Word of God? It says, for unto us is given. Wow. Unto us is given. God gave it to us. Oh, we ought to be grateful. You ought to be grateful. You ought to do things for Jesus. I believe there's ways you can do things to be grateful. I've preached it before. I like it. I like doing family traditions for Christ during Christmas, like baking a cake for Jesus' birthday and singing happy birthday to Him. We do it at our house. We sing happy birthday to Jesus. Happy birthday to you. Amen. We sing it to the Lord. We make a cake and everything. We light candles. We just put an infinity number. You say, how much is that? I don't know. Maybe one or two. Yeah. And we rejoice in our Savior. We do things on purpose to be grateful for Christ. Something I do, I always give a present to Christ and I put it under the tree just for Him, between Him and me. No one knows about it. Every year I seek His face about it too. I say, Lord, what do You want from me? What's something I can give to You to be a little bit closer? What's something I can do to be a little bit closer in my Christian life? And then I'll write a card and I'll write a love card to them. Tell them how much I love them and I'll give something in that card. And then I'll put it up and stick it on the tree. Lord, that one's for You. Amen. Things that you can do to keep Christ preeminent and be grateful. You watch yourself. If you get to Christmas and you're upset about something, boy, that's an awful, awful spirit. Unthankfulness is evil. Wickedness. A complaining spirit should not be in the house of any believer this week. We ought to be very grateful. Grateful for Him. Next, we ought to testify with rejoicing over Him. Testify with rejoicing over Him. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Let me say it like this. You ought to testify. I think it's good to go around your house and have someone say something about the goodness of the Lord in your family. Children and everything. Amen. Hey, You ought to testify. Have your children, have your wife and yourself, and have your family, or if you're at your grandparents or whatever. Hey, get around and testify over Jesus this Christmas. All right. Before we go any further today, before we eat our food and we rejoice over what we're going to eat, let's first just take some time rejoicing over Jesus. Let's testify. I'll start. I just want to thank God that He sent Jesus. He saved me. Life's never been the same. I couldn't imagine life without Him. All praise and honor to Him. He's given me a wonderful family. I love you, Dad. I love you, Mom. I love you, children. I'm so grateful to God for Jesus Christ, because where would we be without Him? And let's go to the next person and the next person. Hey, you want to keep Christ preeminent? Testify of... You know what we do? Okay, Susie, open your present. And when you open it, let Mama film you. Now hold that present up, Susie. Hold that present up. We testify over the presents, don't we? Show everybody. Let me get pictures. You know, child who don't like it, but trying to act like he does. Yeah. Show it. Oh, why don't we testify about Jesus on Christmas? Keep Christ preeminent. Hey, all children, tell me something about the Lord. Let's all take time. Let's rejoice over God. I don't know what's wrong with us, but we get so busy, we don't do those things in our house. And that's awful. We ought to be testifying about Christ in the home. Our children ought to hear their parents talk about the praises of God, lest they forget. And we ought to have them praise the Lord too. Testify, rejoice over Him. I'll give you one more and we're done. Let nothing replace Him. Let nothing replace Him. Let nothing replace Him. Don't let happy holidays replace Merry Christmas. Amen. Don't let the emphasis of Santa Claus take the place of our Christ. Listen, your family, you do whatever you want to do with your family, but we don't teach our children about Santa Claus. Well, I'm Daddy Claus. That's how we do it. Now, they know that there's a person that people talk about. They know that Santa Claus stuff, but we don't trick our children into that. You know? Every time I think about the attributes they give Santa Claus, I think God gets a little frustrated with that. Only one sees you when you're sleeping. Only one knows everything, whether you've been good or bad. And for goodness sake, to be good, there's only one reason for that. That's because of Christ's sake. Don't let anybody take the place of Jesus. Now, if you want to, you know, again, that's between you and the family. I'm just telling you what we do in our family. We want to make an emphasis of Christ in our home. We want to make an emphasis of the Lord Jesus. And so we always tell them, yeah, Daddy Claus is going to visit you. You got some presents from Daddy Claus. Amen. And we make an emphasis of our Lord and Savior. Don't let the holiday cheer take the place of Christmas cheer. Amen. Some people, they party the wrong way on Christmas Eve. Hey, look right here. I know people that never sip alcohol at all, but on Christmas Eve they do it. I know people that don't drink, but on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, those two times of the year, when they get with their family. I remember times growing up being at people's houses where there was teenagers, and because it was Christmas Eve, they let even the teenagers drink, and during the normal year, they try to stay away from that stuff, even the parents. Hey, you make sure you keep Christ preeminent. There's no room for social drinking on Christmas Eve. There's no time for social drinking any time of the year. Make Christ... Listen, we're talking about Jesus. I'm being honest. I had a wonderful lady. I love the lady and the Lord. With all her sincerity, trying to tell me, please try my special eggnog. I was telling her, I said, look, I'm not drinking that stuff with that stuff in it. And she said, oh, you just don't understand. Oh, Pastor, you just don't understand how good it is. It's so good. I said, I'm not going to do it. Amen. I'm not going to put that garbage in my mouth. I mean, listen, This is about Jesus. It's not about the devil. If I want to drink his stuff, I'll do it. But I'm not going to do it on... Hey, I don't want to drink the devil's stuff on the Lord's time, anytime, my life, now or ever. Why would you want to put the devil's juice in you celebrating the Lord's birth? Man, you got to be careful about this. Some of you are business folk. And you might go to a business party. Watch out. Some of you might take someone out to eat this week. And they say, oh, you buying lunch? Yeah, I'm going to buy lunch. Can I get a beer? I'll buy you lunch, but I'm not buying you a beer. Amen. You want a drink? You're going to do it without me around you. I'm going to keep Christ preeminent. I'd be glad to buy you food. Eat all you want. But you're not going to drink any of that stuff. I hear Christians talk like that. I was with a guy the other day talking that way. He's like, I don't care to buy a guy a beer. I'm thinking, you don't care to buy a guy a beer? Are you crazy? I'm not going to give anybody anything the devil cooked up. I'm trying to bring them to Christ, not away from them. Oh, we ought to keep Christ. Don't let anything replace the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Holiday movies. I think it's good to have a little good Christmas movie. We do it. We like it. We make special time. But it's not all about all the fun you're going to do this week. It's not all about the entertainment you're going to do this week. It's about Jesus. It's about the Christ. It's about the Son of God who died for us, gave His life for us. It's about Him. Let nothing replace Him. Read the Scriptures on Him. Tell others about Him. Have the mind of Him. Sing praises to Him. Be grateful for Him. Testify, rejoice over Him. And let nothing replace Him. Make this all about Christ. Jesus has all His preeminence. That in all these things, He would be preeminent in your life. I mean, He's over the world. Shouldn't He be over your life? He's the King of the world. He ought to be King of your heart. And this is a great time of the year. God forbid us Bible believers to let anything take His place and not make much of Jesus this week. I mean, Christ ought to be so much in your life right now. I mean, preeminent one. I understand, all year round, yes. But right now, when you smile, your smile ought to be saying, Jesus. How you doing? Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all pray. All heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I love when I talk to families that have Christian traditions that they started in their house. I love it. I love it. Some of you are new families, young families. You know what you ought to do? You ought to go home, you and your husband, you and your wife, and you ought to say, what can we do to do something very special with the Lord from here on and build it as a tradition? Like bake Him a cake. Like sing certain songs. Like, you know, get around with hot cocoa on Christmas Eve and sit around as a family with hot cocoa and everyone go around the table and talk about Jesus. Have a prayer meeting before you do something on Christmas Day. Oh man, wouldn't that be exciting? Keeping Christ preeminent in Christmas. That's what the word Christmas means, is Christ, as much of Christ. That's why we say Merry Christmas. That's why the world hates it. Because when you say Merry Christmas, you're saying much of Him, of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Much of Christ. And they don't want that. But we want it. And please, if any of you have sin in your life, I beg you. And you know what it is. You know if you're backslidden, if you're upset, if you're whatever. Please be genuine with God and get all things right. You'll enjoy your Christmas time so much the more when you walk with God. 'Tis the season to be jolly. It's all about Him. We're going to have the piano play and the invitation be open. Maybe you need to come with your family. You know, maybe you should just, I don't know, whatever you want to do. But make this a special invitation time, a special altar time where you can come down and make some decisions about Christ. And make some decisions to keep Christ preeminent, not let anything else replace Him. make much of Jesus. Father in heaven, I pray you to help us now. I pray you'd have the victory in our lives and make much of Jesus. May He have the preeminence, that in all things He might have the preeminence right over our life. And may our home echo through the neighborhood, Christ, Christ, Christ. We love Him, Lord. We love Him. Bless in Jesus' name. Amen.